Today's podcast is sponsored by RadRx, your source for quality online education for interventional and diagnostic radiology coding, taught by subject matter expert Stacy Buck. For more information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Struggling to learn interventional radiology coding? If so, RadRx has the perfect solution for you. Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology online training program. In this program, interventional radiology coding expert Stacy Buck breaks down the complexities of interventional radiology coding in easy-to-understand terms so you can grasp this complex specialty. Through her course, Stacy has assisted many coders with little or no interventional radiology coding experience in successfully passing the CIRC exam on the first attempt. For additional information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says, a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Stacy Buck.
Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says. I am your host, Stacy Buck. Thank you for joining me. Today's episode is titled, Who Wants to Be an Entrepreneur? Today, I will be discussing my personal journey in business since I started RadRx in 2008, and I'll be sharing my personal pros and cons of being a business owner. Then, in the next episode, I will discuss starting and setting up your own business. So people always ask me, how did you get started with your own business? Well, it was something that I always wanted to do, but it was actually circumstances that forced me to step out on my own. If you listen to episode one of the podcast, you know that I worked for a company called Southeast Radiology Management prior to starting my own consulting company, RadRx. And what happened with Southeast Radiology Management, I had been working there 3 years and I was a partner in that company. And the main partner in the management company, he decided that he no longer wanted to work in healthcare and that he was going to sell his imaging centers and shut down the management company and pursue his passion of photography full time, because healthcare was just so darn stressful and there were a lot of changes that had occurred in the industry that were not exactly favorable to those who were in the diagnostic radiology business. So I fully understood his need to make a change. So with him making that decision, that left me with my own decision to make. Do I go and take a full-time job with another company, or do I try to make a go of it on my own? And I decided to go for it on my own. So that was back in October 2008. And at that time, it was a good time and it was a good transition for me, because I had been consulting full-time for 3 years. I also had gained a lot of name recognition as a subject matter expert in the area of radiology. So the circumstances had kind of aligned nicely for that reason. And then also, I was able to start with one client right away who had been with Southeast Radiology Management, who re-signed with me under RadRx. So I already had my first client. Not that it was a lot of money. It was only about $2,000 a month for this particular client, but it's better than starting with nothing. And then there had been another potential client that we had been talking to with Southeast Radiology Management. It was actually an owner of two imaging centers. He owns some other medical practices as well, but he was looking for a billing company to outsource his billing to, and that is why we were engaging with him under Southeast Radiology Management. But then he decided he didn't want to outsource the billing, and then he wanted to just sign a consulting contract. And that was actually one of the reasons why it was decided to shut down Southeast Radiology Management. If we had gotten that contract, then we would have continued with the management company, but for that reason, we did not. So he wanted consulting services. So what ended up happening, he signed a contract with my new company, RadRx. And this was a large contract. So I'm starting my own business and I'm trying to lock in a paycheck to give me time to build my business and get additional clients. So this contract was a lucrative contract. It was a $51,000 contract. And when the contract was written, it was set up where the client was allowed to pay me monthly, 6 monthly payments of $8,500. But the cost of this consulting work was going to be a total of $51,000. So you can imagine that getting paid $51,000 in 6 months is a pretty good starting salary during a ramp up for a new company. Plus I had the approximately $2,000 a month from the existing client. So I was looking at making $11,000 a month, like roughly, just starting out, and then I would have time to build the business. So that sounds good, right? I'm well on my way to a big successful business. Well, guess what happens a little bit over a month later? This client that I signed, the $51,000 contract, he decides that he is done and he no longer wants to pay me. So now I am facing this situation where he has his attorney send me a letter saying that I breached the contract, and so therefore they are canceling the contract and I am not going to get paid any additional money. So I had to contact an attorney and go through, my challenges with this client. What had happened with this client, after I started consulting, he paid me for the first month. The payments were due at the beginning of each month. He paid me for the first month. And during that first month, I was asking him for additional information. I was asking him for reports and data and things that I needed to be able to do my job. And he simply was not providing that information for me. And he was getting frustrated when I was going to him and asking him for information. And then he just hit a point where he decided he was done and he was not going to pay me anymore. What he had been doing was going to the staff that I had been working with within his organization and asking them for ammunition to get rid of me, to show non-performance of my duties. And what was interesting was one day when I was sitting at my computer, I got an email from one of his billers that was clearly intended to be sent to him and not me. And she was laying out some points about me, things about me that she did not like, because he was looking for ammunition to cancel the contract, to get out of the contract. So I had already had a little bit of a heads up about what was going on here. I saw what was coming. But anyway, I called my attorney and explained to him, what had happened. And it was funny when I talked to him, after I told him what the situation was, he said, okay, he says, who is this issue with, the company name, the person's name? And when I told him, he's like, ugh, I hate that guy. Now, that's not good when your attorney already knows of the person that you're talking about. And so he told me, he said, Stacy, he says, you don't want to do business with him. You don't want any part of what he is doing. He's like, I know it stinks to like lose this income, but trust me, you're better off without him as a client. You don't want to get mixed up in anything that's going on. And he didn't elaborate. He never told me specifically why, but I was like, okay. I'm like, maybe there's some level of protection here and not being involved in this situation. So after he reviewed my contract, he said to me, your contract is ironclad. He legally owes you all $51,000 based on how the contract was written, based on the circumstances, based on the documentation that you have. So he told me, we can pursue this. We can take it to court. We can go all the way through. And he's like, you will get a judgment. He's like, you will almost guaranteed get a judgment for all of the money that is part of this contract. He said, however, just because you get a judgment doesn't mean that you will be able to collect the money that you owed. So I'm being realistic with you and telling you that you may not see any money after you have laid out thousands of dollars in legal fees. So how would you like to proceed? So I had a decision to make. Obviously, just starting out in my own business, I don't have a big fat bank account where I can pay tons of money in legal fees to get money that I'm legitimately owed. So I said to the attorney, why don't we send a threatening letter to him arguing our case and seeing if we can somehow get a settlement out of him? And that's what we did. So a letter was sent to his attorney, and then they came back with another response. And anyway, we ended up settling for an additional 2 payments. So I ended up getting paid for a total of 3 months, the one he had paid me when I started, and then an additional 2. And that was the settlement. And so I ended up spending $2,000 in legal fees to collect an additional $17,000. So that was worth a little bit of time and effort to do so, but I wasn't willing to take the risk to run up a huge legal bill and then possibly not get paid. There are, you know, unfortunately in this business, there are shady people in the healthcare business and shady providers. I've encountered them. I've had friends who have encountered them. And there are people who will take advantage of you, screw you over, and not pay you. It's happened to me. I've seen it happen to other people. And it's unfortunate that it happens. But you have to look bigger picture and make the decision that is best for you when you get into those situations. How far do you want to take it? How far do you want to fight it? So that was my first major obstacle when I started my business. And that was a huge obstacle because now I'm down to making only about $2,000 a month with this new company. I have no other source of income. And I was like, what am I going to do at this point? So I was busy looking for other clients trying to build the business. So my guaranteed income for 6 months had gone away. And that was a very stressful situation. Then on top of that, like when this happens, right around the time I got the settlement, I get notification from the people that I'm renting my house from that they want to sell the house. So either A, I can buy the house, or B, I could move out in about 60 days. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I don't need to deal with this right now. This is not a time to be looking for a place to move. I certainly am really not in the best position to be buying a house. I had wanted to wait. I put that on hold. I was had been looking prior to making this transition. And then I'm like, I can't do it right now. So I put it on hold. And I was like, okay, I now have to figure this out. So that was another thing that was on my plate. So 2009 was my first full year solo. And in that first year, I made less than half of what I had been pulling in annually in my prior position at Southeast Radiology Management with my salary. So that was a very challenging year, year one, because I was so accustomed to making that large paycheck, and now I'm down to less than half of that, and I still have the same expenses that I did the prior year. So that was my first really hard year, I would say, where I faced a lot of different challenges. And it would have been easy to give up during that first year and then go get a full-time job, but I didn't. I stuck with it. So now I move on to year two after a very interesting year one, where it was a struggle in the business. So 2010 took off. It like just went off the charts. Like immediately January of 2010, I started signing large contracts. And then by February, I signed my largest contract ever. Still to this day, this remains my largest contract ever. It was with an academic medical center, and it was to do backlog diagnostic radiology coding for them. They had about 38,000 encounters backlog when I got the contract, and I continued to work with them for 2 years, providing coding support to back up their team because they just didn't have the staff to be able to handle the volume. And other business was coming in. That was like an amazing year. And I was, yes, I finally have arrived. I have this successful business. This is amazing. Things can only get better from here and go up from here. Well, May of 2010, when business is going so well, and I have a bunch of people working for me. At the beginning of the project, I had, I believe it might've been 10 people on that project, maybe 8. I had at least 8 working that project initially. So it was huge. It was huge. I needed other people to assist me with it. So May 2010, suddenly I develop health issues. And I end up, over the period of many months, I end up in the emergency room 3 different times. I'm going to see 10 different doctors. I'm trying to figure out what is going on with me. Nobody can figure out what was wrong with me. And I'm just getting progressively worse. And I was unable to work for the better part of 6 months. So during those times, I had to turn over large chunks of responsibility to people who were working for me, which was very challenging because that's something that I was not accustomed to doing. Now, obviously, having health issues in and of itself is very challenging, and you're trying to run a business, you're really only in year 2, that has its own set of challenges. But on top of that, I had no health insurance. COBRA had run out for me at this point, and I had no health insurance coverage. So you can imagine the bills that I was getting for the ER visits and from seeing all the doctors and all the diagnostic testing that I had done. So that's a drain on the finances. So I'm racking up tens of thousands of dollars in medical bills because I have no health insurance and I'm trying to run this business. And unfortunately, I'm having to pay out a lot of money to 1099s to assist me because I'm not able to do any of the work myself. So I'm losing income personally by not working. The business is still taking in the income, but this is making my paycheck smaller because I'm not able to do the work and I have no health insurance and I'm racking up all of these bills. And this was in year 2. The company in 2010 had its highest grossing year ever. It still to this day is my highest grossing year ever as far as revenue that came into the company. Now, as far as a personal paycheck, I've had years that have been at that level, but that was while it was challenging for me during that time to run the business and then not have the health insurance and go through everything I did, on one side, that was difficult, but on the other side, it was a blessing to have my own business during that time, because if I had been working full-time for another employer, I would have had to give up my job. I would have had to quit my job and I would have had no source of income. So in that particular instance, it actually worked to my advantage that I had that income coming in and I had the ability to not have to work on a daily basis because I couldn't work on a daily basis. So that was a blessing when I looked at it from that perspective. So then we get to 2011. And by 2011, I was slowly able to start working again. I was getting a little bit better health-wise. And in 2011, business was doing very well over the course of that year. The income level wasn't as high as it had been in 2010, but it was still a good year with very comfortable profits. Unfortunately, because of the health issues, I didn't travel in 2010, most of that year. 2011, I didn't travel. I wasn't doing any speaking engagements. So that took away momentum from the business. If you're going to have your own business and you're going to be working in this consulting capacity, it's very important to keep your name out front and center and have that name recognition. So that sucked away momentum during that time, unfortunately, even though business was still doing well enough where I didn't have to stress about finances, but I still had medical bills that were piling up over time with no health insurance. Then in spring of 2012, by then I had figured out finally what was wrong with me health-wise, actually the end of 2011. It was November 2011. I finally figured out what was wrong with me and was able to move forward and continue to get better over time. And so I was well on my way to making a physical recovery, being better, and now I'm going to be like all in on my business, more, you know, and more engaged with that because now I have the ability to. Well, what happened in spring of 2012, in a matter of 1 month's time, 75% of my business was gone, over, done, because contracts were canceled. The large contract with that academic medical center, they canceled the contract because they no longer needed the services. Now, that was a per diem contract. I did know that that could go away at any time, but they never gave me any notice that it was going away. One day, they just stopped sending work and said, sorry, we don't need your services anymore. So there was no notice. Then I had that happen with some other contracts that I had as well. And it wasn't because of the quality of service I was rendering. Everybody was happy with this, you know, the service they were getting. But with a lot of, with providers, what happens a lot of times is when they are forced to look at their budgets and work within certain financial constraints, they start deciding which expenses they can cut out. And unfortunately, sometimes consulting services are the ones that get cut out because facilities are going to put money into patient care when things are tight. That is always going to come first. So that was through no fault of my own. 75% of my income is gone within a month. And now I'm facing that. And then we go into 2013. And so 2012 was a tough year with that big drop in income, obviously. Then we get into 2013, 2014, and 2015. And I lump these years together because these years were very, very, very lean, where there was not a whole lot of money coming in. I was just making it during that span of time. And one of the primary reasons it was such a challenge for me during those 3 years is that was when the industry was so heavily focused on ICD-10 implementation. So a lot of money at the facility level, at the provider level, was going into ICD-10 implementation and preparation, paying vendors to assist them with that, training of employees. They weren't spending money on other outside consulting services. Because I have a very small niche and I don't do a lot of things, then that cut me out of the loop there. Now, I had gone to the AHIMA training to become an ICD-10 approved trainer, had invested $2,000 in that, and I had gotten up to speed on ICD-10. But the clients that I was serving at that time didn't really have a big need for it because hospitals were contracted with larger providers at that time. And most of my clients over the years have tended to be in the hospital setting, which I find kind of interesting, but I've done a lot of hospital work. So they just simply didn't need me and they weren't putting money specifically into interventional radiology or diagnostic radiology. So during that time, I could have gone and I could have gotten another job. It was something that I had considered. I actually had a great job offer come to me during that time. It was one of those jobs where 10 years prior, it would have been my dream job and I would have totally jumped on it and gone for it. But I had become so spoiled in having my own business, I couldn't see going back to work for someone else on a full-time basis where they essentially have control of you. They tell you when you're going to work, what days you're going to work, the hours you're going to work, how you're going to work. Oftentimes, when you're in a consulting capacity for a large company, you're working more than 40 hours a week. And that was just something that I didn't want to do. Because of what I had been through with the health issues, that really changed how I looked at things. Prior to that occurring, I was the stressed out workaholic. I would put in 50 or 60 hours a week and I was work constantly. I was very driven. When you go through something like that, it changes your outlook on life. It changes your priorities. And when I came out of that, I knew I never wanted to go back to that. And so I didn't want to go work for someone else and then have them working me like crazy to earn this paycheck. The other thing is, looking at what the business was making, even on those leaner years versus what I would make for a full-time salary with another company, there wasn't a huge difference. There was a difference. There was a big difference, but it wasn't big enough for someone to own me for 50 hours a week. I just didn't want to make that leap. And so I can remember when the job offer was made to me with this particular company, and I turned it down. They were surprised that I turned it down because they knew that my business was struggling. I had been very honest with them about that. This is a company I had done work for on a contract basis. So we had an existing relationship. And I said, this is how I look at it, because they couldn't understand. I said, I recently put in a bid on a contract that is a $300,000 contract. And I said, I'm not saying I'm going to get the contract, but there's a possibility that I may land a $300,000 contract. And with this contract, I would not need to have anybody else work it with me. I could work it myself. And so this would bring in $300,000 for me in 1 year. And there was no overhead associated with this contract. It was all my time. I said, one contract has the ability to change my life overnight. So I am willing to roll the dice and see what happens with my business, even though things have been challenging. And they were shocked that I looked at it that way. But I didn't want to go back to what I had come out of. I felt like I had come too far and put in too much time. And again, because of the health issues, I decided that I had wanted to create a lifestyle where I was working less hours, not more hours. So I wanted to try to get my hours down to 25 to 30 per week and then find a way to make six figures only working 25 to 30 hours a week. So that was my personal goal at that time. And taking that job, well, it would have been great to have a guaranteed paycheck where I know how much money is coming in. It would have been great to have benefits again, have health insurance and other benefits. I did pass on that. So after those three very, very lean years, 2016 rolls around. And 2016 is where the shift occurred in my business. And at that time, my main focus became my online course. What I had done in, so how the online course came about, I will share that story. Those of you who know me know I offer an online course for interventional radiology coding. And in 2015, one of my clients approached me and she said, do you have any training specifically for interventional radiology coding for those who want to sit for the CIRCC exam? And I said, no, I don't have anything available, but if you want, I'm willing to tutor you one-on-one. So she paid me to tutor her one-on-one, and we met for 8 weeks, once a week for 8 weeks, and I set up a boot camp for her to pass the CIRCC exam. So she finished the 8 weeks with me and then sat for her exam, and she passed the exam. When that happened, I started thinking, you know what? Maybe I have something here. There's probably a need out there for this type of training, these boot camps. Now, I know there are other companies out there that offer different types of training, but I wanted to do mine very differently. So in 2015, I started offering these boot camps, and then into the beginning of 2016, where we would meet virtually. I limited it to 10 people. Each boot camp was limited to 10 people, and they would run for 8 weeks. And so we would meet in the evening for 8 weeks. And again, with the boot camps, I had good success with people learning interventional radiology coding and then passing the CIRCC exam on their first attempt. Even though I had drawn the training out to 8 weeks, where other companies were doing week-long training courses, people said to me, I really wish I had longer than the 8 weeks for me to absorb the content. So I thought to myself, why don't I expand the access to a longer period of time and then create an on-demand training option? So by the end of 2016, I had a fully on-demand interventional radiology coding training program in place. And that is what has been my main focus over the past 5 years. That has actually grown over the years, and it's now my main source of income. I still provide outsourced coding services, backlog coding services, auditing, and consulting when asked, but the majority of my income comes from the online course. And honestly, after I had this put this in place and it's grown over the past several years, I wish I would have done something like this back in the beginning of my business. If I would have had something like this in place, those lean years wouldn't have been lean. I would have been actually, you know, quite comfortable if I had had this option available. So by adding this component to my business in 2016 and growing that, I now have the ability to work fewer hours and actually make a very good salary. I have a very comfortable income. People say to me, well, why don't you work more hours? You're not working, you know, 40 hours a week, you know, you're working part-time hours a lot of weeks. Why don't you put in more hours and make more money? And I said, I used to work like crazy and make good money, but I was miserable and stressed out. And looking back on who I was during that time period, I don't like who I was. I was not pleasant to be around and I was not happy. I don't want to go back to being that person that I was prior to 2010. That just simply doesn't work for me. So I love the fact that I've been able to create a business that supports the type of lifestyle that I personally would like to live. And the online course has done that for me, and I'm very appreciative of that. So that was a little bit about my journey. There's so much more that I could tell you about that journey and so many more things that I can get into, but I don't want the podcast to be 5 or 6 hours long. So I'm going to leave it there. And I'm sure in future podcasts, you will learn other little bits and pieces about my journey and having my own business and different challenges that I have faced. But really the takeaway from what I did share with you today is the fact that I faced those huge challenges right off the bat the first 2 years. Unexpected things like came at me that I never could have predicted. And I could have given up at that point in time and I could have gone and taken another job. But I'm glad that I never considered doing that and that I just pressed through. And again, if I had taken a full-time job when things were tough for me that first year, the second year when I had those health issues, it would have been worse for me to have been employed by someone else during that time. Other than the fact I would have had health insurance, the other part of that would not have been good for me personally, financially. That would have actually cost me more money if I had been working for someone else during that time because I would have had to quit my job. I would not have been able to continue. So now I want to share some of my personal pros and cons of having your own business. I think if you go and ask business owners, you know, individually, you know, what do you think are the pros of having your own business? What are the cons? We all will probably have slightly different answers. I think certain things we'll have in common, but this is going to vary from person to person. So I'm going to start with some of the things that I feel are cons, like personally. So if you're a fan of security and guarantees and a guaranteed amount of income, if you're the type of person that needs a certain amount of money to hit your bank account every 2 weeks, this is not going to be for you. I can tell you that. That is probably one of the biggest challenges in having your own business is that you don't have any guarantee with your income. So for me, each month, I don't know how much money I'm going to make from month to month. Now I have a baseline. When I look at my, you know, contracts, my recurring revenue, I know what the minimum I can absolutely count on like is, but above and beyond that, I have no idea what will come in, what new business will come to me from month to month. I don't know how many people will sign up for the online course. I don't know whether or not I'll get any new business. So that is a moving target. That can be very challenging from a budgeting perspective when you are in business, when you don't know from month to month how much you're going to have coming in. Well, people say, oh, well, budget on that minimum income that you have coming in. Well, there's a lot of months where that minimum income that I know I'm guaranteed that I can absolutely 100% count on, that isn't enough to cover the expenses and cover the bills that I need to pay. So then I am in that situation of, what do I have to work with this month? I don't know. I could have a great month. I could have a not so great month. There's a lot of variability in my business, at least with what I do. Other types of businesses are more stable when you have more set recurring revenue in your contracts. But the way my business is set up, I don't know from month to month how much is going to come in. Like I said, there's a baseline that I know, recurring revenue I can count on. But I can tell you right now, my recurring revenue that I know that I know that I know that I'm going to get is not enough currently as I'm recording this podcast to meet my monthly expenses. So that is a challenge that I still continue to face. But I have great months. By the time the end of the month rolls around, most months I have done very well. But every month when it hits the first of the month, it's like, here we go again. What does this month have in store? So it's kind of like you're on an adventure having your own business, not knowing what is going to come. You have pleasant surprises that come your way, and you have not so pleasant surprises that come your way. So for the clients that you do have, sometimes what will happen is you may not get paid on time. That has happened to me frequently in the almost 13 years that I have been doing this. So at the end of the month, you send the client an invoice, and the invoice is due within a specified time. I set my standard contract 15 days. Some people will not sign that. They say it has to be 30 days. Every once in a while, someone will tell me it has to be 45 days just because of how their AP process works. Well, just because that invoice has a due date on it doesn't mean your client is going to pay you on that due date. I have had people pay me 30, 60, 90 days late. So if you need your money to come in by a certain date, again, going back to if you need security and guarantees, this is probably not for you, because even though you've invoiced them and it's due on a certain date, it may take you weeks or months to collect that money from the client. So that can be an issue from time to time. Going back to that largest contract that I had from the academic medical center, that was a great contract. That brought in a lot of money to my company, but I had a large headache with this contract as well, because when they signed the contract with me, they agreed to pay me. I would invoice them every 2 weeks, and then they were supposed to pay me every 2 weeks because the volume was so large. They signed the contract. They agreed to the terms. Then when my coder started, I told them, you will have to work 30 days before you get your first check. So I had staggered the coder's pay with when the client was supposed to pay me. So I would always be one pay cycle ahead with the client, so I would have the money to pay the coders, because I had 8 people working for me. It started with 10, then it went down to 8. So I had 8 people working for me for quite a while. And that's a lot of money that you're paying out for 8 different people that are working for you. Well, what would happen is they would pay me. Now, mind you, I'm having to write a check to coders every 2 weeks. I'm paying you twice a month. So not really 2 weeks, you're getting bi-monthly, twice a month. You're getting paid middle of the month and you're getting paid at the end of the month. And so I'm having to cut those checks every 2 weeks to the coders who need to get paid because they're working, and the client is paying me. It's taking them approximately 60 days to pay me on an invoice. So I'm getting an invoice to them every 2 weeks. A new invoice is going in. And every time I send in a new invoice, most of the time it's taking them approximately 60 days to pay me. Sometimes it's a little bit less, sometimes it's even more. That created a cash flow nightmare. And I said to them, you need to find a way to speed up paying the invoices. You signed a contract that said that you will turn them around within 15 days. And the director told me, well, that's never going to happen. The quickest you'll ever get a check out of us would be 45 days. That is just impossible. And that's because it had to go through 5 different people for approval. When I found that out, I was like, oh my goodness. So it would get stuck sitting in somebody's like inbox and it would get neglected. So of course I was upset that they agreed to the terms. I'm like, well, clearly you shouldn't have signed that on the contract. So anyway, that created cash flow issues where I have way more money going out, you know, in a month than I have coming in because of this delay in payment. So what would happen in some really tight times, because I'm having to pay all these coders, projects that I was doing, consulting income that I personally was making on stuff I was personally doing, I had to take that money and pay the coders. So I was last in line to get paid. So while I'm working like a crazy person, I am waiting for money and waiting for money because I have to keep writing checks to everybody who's working. That's what business owners do when you have people working for you. They come first. You can't tell them, sorry, I can't pay you. You have to wait. So you have to find a mechanism to do that. Thankfully, I never had to go pull a line of credit during that time. I was getting to the point where maybe I need to get like a line of credit for the business because they're causing me cash flow nightmares. So that was the downside of the big contract. So what I'm saying is you have no guarantee of how much you're going to be paid, when you're going to be paid. You'll have people that cancel contracts unexpectedly. You'll have people that you will render services for that will just not pay you. Like I said, that's happened to me and it's happened to other people that I know in this industry. So that is huge. It's not having that regular set amount of income coming in. You have to be able to work with that. You need to assume you're not going to get paid on time. And you need to assume that in some cases, you may not get paid at all. It's just a reality of like being in business. So that's the huge thing. So of course, there's no benefits package either. I have to go and get benefits like on my own. I'm not getting that from an employer. And that was very challenging. So the challenge that I faced, so I had the health issues in 2010 when I had no health insurance. Now here's the thing, why I ended up with no health insurance. COBRA had ended, I applied for an individual policy and they denied me for a pre-existing condition. So this was pre-Obamacare, pre all of that. And I was denied for the pre-existing condition because of incorrect information in my medical record. Oh my goodness. And I was not successful in appealing that and getting that taken care of before this happened to me in 2010. So now in 2010, I have 3 emergency room visits. I have 10 different doctors I've gone to, all kinds of diagnostic tests, and nobody can find anything wrong with me. I have no diagnosis. Now I have some mystery pre-existing condition. I'm like, I will never, ever get insurance at this point in time. And then by the time Obamacare kicked in and then you could get coverage, remember they took away the pre-existing. If you had pre-existing, they had to give you coverage. That was during my lean years when I was barely making any money and I was looking at the Obamacare premiums and I'm like, I just don't have the money to afford a premium. And then every year the premiums were going up and I was like, okay. So I didn't have health insurance for a long time. And then I was paying the Obamacare penalty on my taxes and that was, you know, costing me a lot of money. Eventually I went with one of the cost sharing programs, which is what I have now for health insurance. And I can talk more about insurance and different things in the next episode, like certain considerations. But so that was a challenge for me, obviously. That was a big con, not having that. Managing employees, that's also a big con for me because I don't have a problem with managing employees like overall, but the con with having people work for you is that they're not always reliable. And all of my employees have been 1099 employees. You have a certain degree of control over W-2 employees. You have almost no control over 1099 employees. So people will tell you, this week I'm going to work 10 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours. Then they may flake out and not work at all. They may only work a couple hours and you're trying to meet deadlines for the clients and you simply can't do it. And you're scrambling to get people to pick up extra hours. You're having to like kick in extra hours. Some people... it's a quality issue. You think you have a good hire, they check out, everything looks great. And then they come in and they're doing the actual work and then they're not doing it correctly. And then it causes a problem with the client. And so as the business owner, you're constantly trying to strike a balance between your clients, you know, meeting their expectations and then keeping people who are working for you happy. You have to do that. You can't, you know, treat people who are working for you poorly. I always paid my independent contractors very well. I would pay higher rates than most people out there. But with that, I expect you to be reliable and not flake out on me. Well, that didn't happen. I had a lot of people let me down, disappoint me, cause me a lot of problems. One 1099 caused me to lose a lucrative contract that had been going very well, when this person was added. So there's that downside there for me. And I've had good people, don't get me wrong. Even when you have good people, I've had some amazing people that I absolutely loved having to work for me. But I've had some really challenging situations with some people who have worked for me. So for me, I'm just like, that's a stress that I don't particularly like dealing with. So a con of having your own business is you're going to have a bit of stress that comes along with it. How do you manage that stress? How do you minimize stress in those areas that are most stressful to you? Honestly, the financial aspect of it, that money aspect, the variability of it is less stressful to me than managing people. I have been able to deal with the financial stresses of the business, of the ups and the downs, But with the employees, that has been something that has definitely been more challenging. So depending upon the size of your business, the scale of your business, when you hire other people to work for you, just know that that creates a whole set of challenges in and of itself when you're bringing in other people, because your clients really aren't their clients. They don't have that same degree of loyalty to your clients that you are going to have to your clients. Okay, so now let's talk about the pros. So those are really my only cons, but they can be big cons. Again, it's going to come back to, you know, your risk tolerance. How much risk are you willing to tolerate? And then your stress level. Are you a person that gets stressed out easily? Or are you a person that's more laid back? So those are my cons. Moving on to pros. So with the business, the way I have it structured, my fixed costs are very low. I have very low fixed costs. There's minimal overhead for what I do. Because what is my business? My business is me giving my time. I don't have a lot of expenses associated with it. Now, if some of you are considering starting your own billing company, now you get into having more overhead and more expenses because you're paying for billing software and other things that you need to do medical billing. I don't have that. I'm strictly doing consulting. So my costs are very low, fixed costs. With what I'm doing right now, for example, to run my business every year and all of my expenses, they do go up and down a little bit, but I'm running at about $30,000 a year in expenses to actually run the business right now. So for how I'm doing things with the consulting and with the online course, the profit margin is very large. So that's something you'll want to take into consideration when you're starting a business. Also, a big pro is that I make much more money per hour than working for someone else. That is one of the biggest pros that I feel. So work that I do, I actually do a lot of work like piece rate. When I'm doing coding, when I'm doing concurrent auditing, things of that nature, my fees that I'm charging the clients are per report, per case. There are projects that I do for flat rates. I also have an hourly consulting rate. But when you break down that piece rate work that I'm doing, then I'm making a lot more per hour than, you know, people, you know, normally make. It's unbelievable. Just, you know, one project that I did piece rate, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. When I tell you this, people are stunned. One project that I did piece rate, one day I made about $1,200 an hour doing it piece rate, which that is the exception to the rule. But that's a reality. I had something that like did that for me. So piece rate can work for you if you are fast and you are accurate. And then people who work for me, I pay them that way. I pay them piece rate. I don't pay anybody hourly. And I find that people like it because if you're good and you're fast and you're accurate, you can make a good hourly, you know, wage. You know, years ago when I had the diagnostic radiology coding contracts, I had some coders that were making $75 to $100 an hour doing diagnostic radiology coding because they had the speed and they had the accuracy. Now, that doesn't happen now for two reasons. One, ICD-10 implementation slowed that coding down because you can't memorize the codes like you used to. And then the other thing is that there's a lot of that work has gone overseas and it's done by CAC. So the rates that clients pay you have dropped significantly. But you know, for instance, an interventional radiology coder who works for me piece rate, they could make around $150 like an hour in certain cases with certain contracts. So that creates the ability, if you set up your business that way, then you have the ability to make a good deal of money per hour. And so people think that I'm sitting around clocking that kind of money at 40 hours a week. I'm not. It would be nice if I was, you know, making that kind of money at 40 hours per week. So, or if I tell people, they're like, what's your consulting rate? And I'll tell you all my consulting rate. It's no secret. It's on the online store. The consulting rate is $350 per hour. So people think, oh my gosh, you make $350 per hour. No, I rarely bill things on an hourly rate. Now, if I was an attorney and I was billing 40 hours a week at $350 an hour, I'd be making some serious bank, but that's not how that works. I rarely charge that way. But anyway, so I changed my business structure and I set up my business to give me the lifestyle that I wanted. And right now, most weeks, I work part-time hours. Not every week. Some weeks when I have big projects, I am sitting at my desk and I am working full-time hours. But most weeks, I work part-time. I have four-day weeks almost every week, and I've been doing that for years. I have three-day weekends all the time. I rarely work on Fridays. If I do work on a Friday, it's for maybe an hour or two in the morning if I have something I have to take care of for a client, like say it's month end. Other than that, I don't work on Fridays, and that has just been a long-standing rule with me. So I have freedom, you know, with making my own hours. I have flexibility to do things during the week, you know, do personal appointments, you know, during the week and schedule work around that. I actually do a lot of my work stuff. I schedule my work stuff around my personal stuff. And so that's what I love about having my own business. And I'm able to do that because of how my business is structured. Now, if you're someone who's starting a business and you're putting in 40 and 50 hours a week to give the business a go, initially, you're not going to be able to have that freedom. In the beginning, I didn't have that freedom. Now I have that freedom. So you need to come up with a plan in what you want, not just your business to look like, but how you want it to fit in with your lifestyle, the lifestyle that you desire. And then also, I get to choose projects that I want, and I reject projects that I don't. I don't take all the business that comes to me. I'm selective about what I take. And so those are my pros. And so I think the last piece of advice I'm going to leave you with in this episode is, and I've said this more than once, this is my biggest piece of advice when you're starting in business. Create a business that supports the lifestyle that you desire. Making money should not be your the primary objective. Now, obviously, if you're going into business, you want to make money, and there's nothing wrong with like making good money. But if you're chasing the big payday, you will eventually burn yourself out. It happened to me. And now the health issues had nothing to do with the stress level. The stress didn't help the health issues, but the stress didn't cause the health issues that I had. It was something completely unrelated, you know, to that. So that would be the takeaway that I would want to leave you with here in episode 3. And next time in episode 4, I'm actually going to focus on more of sort of like a checklist for setting up your business. I guess I'll say it that way. I'll talk about things that you need to consider when you're starting up your business, as far as, you know, whether or not you incorporate, you know, licenses, things like that, insurance, talking about employees, 1099s versus W-2s, things of that nature. And then I'll talk a little bit about setting rates for your clients. And then we'll talk about ways to get clients other than paid advertising. Honestly, paid advertising has never really done much for me. So there's a lot of other ways for you to get business. And that's what I'll focus on in episode 4. So in the meantime, if you have any specific questions, you can email me at askstacy@radrx.com. That's askstacy, S-T-A-C-I-E, at radrx.com. And if you have any feedback about the podcast or suggestions for future episodes, feel free to send an email to podcast@radrx.com. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to speaking to you again in another 2 weeks and continuing the discussion on who wants to be an entrepreneur. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for listening to Who Cares What Stacy Says? You can connect with Stacy on social media. You can find her business page for RadRx on Facebook, and you can connect with her personally on LinkedIn. Don't forget to check out the online training courses offered by RadRx: Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology Online Training, or Cracking the Diagnostic Radiology Code Online Training. Thanks again for tuning in to Who Cares What Stacy Says? A podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level.